Hey everybody, Bill Faith here, and welcome to episode number 7 of the Paid Traffic Show. We got a lot of great stuff coming up for you. We're going to be talking about Snapchat ads today, getting you ready for the prom season, and some local geo-targeting with my bald-headed friend over here to my right, Mr. Mark Petrie, the King Kong of Google Ads. Are we ready to roll? Done. You're ready to go, Tim?
What are the different ways you can target by location?
Let's redo that with a little more enthusiasm. Are you happy to be here? Let's get these people fired up.
All right.
Let's talk about location targeting. What are they doing wrong? Let's dive into it. Give them some enthusiasm, some action here.
Yeah, so I actually just was talking to a client about this yesterday. She sent me a list that her current agency was using, and it had a bunch of keywords on it, but none of the keywords had locations in them. So there's two ways to target locations on Google Ads. So one way is you can target in the location settings. You can set radius targeting. You can set it by the city, by the DMA region. So that's one way to target. And the second way to target is...
Hold on, Mark, I'm going to interrupt you real quick. That sounds like three ways to me. Which one should I start with? And tell me the difference between the three you just mentioned.
Okay, so to make it simple, just do radius targeting. Set a radius around your business of anywhere from 20 to 40 or 50 miles. And just use radius targeting. That's generally what I would recommend for that. That's the easiest way to do it. Because that's what I want to talk about here. Just what are some quick wins you can get with your account? So use radius targeting, 20 to 50 miles, depending on how much traffic you're getting. If you're in a huge city, you don't need to do 50 miles. You might only do 20 miles. So for those of you that get lots of clients flying in from other parts of the country, you need to be using keyword-based location targeting. And all that means is using your location as a keyword. So for instance, if you wanted to get people flying into like LaGuardia, a good keyword would be LaGuardia car service or car service to LaGuardia, things like that. So putting your location in the keyword is big, but you want two types of keywords. You want ones with locations and without locations, because if someone in your local area is searching for your service and they search limo service, you don't need to have your limo service plus your city name because people aren't going to be searching for that. So you want two types of location types of targeting. And one, do radius targeting, and that's...
Lost him. Can you guys hear him? Check the broadcast. Listen through Facebook. Cut over to me then. Cut over to me. All right. So one of the things that Mark was saying was about using radius targeting, and he said to go 25 to 50 miles. And one thing that I want you to keep in mind is he is correct, but that's probably not applicable for you. If you live where Mark does in Huntington Beach, California, which is, and you're not familiar with Los Angeles, you are on the far west coast over on the beach. So what happens is if you're targeting PPC ads or Facebook ads or any type of traffic in Riverside, which can be 50 miles away, but you're going to drive all the way through Los Angeles to be able to get there, that can take you 2 hours of drive time. So that's probably not going to make you competitive when you're going to have to charge drive time versus a local competitor in Riverside. Same thing happens in Houston. Same thing happens in Fort Worth and Dallas. Same thing happens if you're in Jersey and you got to drive through downtown Manhattan to get to Long Island, or if you're servicing up in Connecticut. So take into consideration what Mark is telling you based on how your rates are going to fluctuate and if they're going to be competitive at a 50-mile trade radius around your geographic targeting location. He's 100% correct, but there's always... kind of additions to the rule from the marketing standpoint that Mark and I are talking about. So you got to understand your business model and the SWOT analysis if you're going to be competitive or not. Mark, did we get you back?
Yeah. I'm not sure where I dropped out there.
I got you covered. I kind of followed up for you. So I want to take another minute or two because you had mentioned, you know, keyword targeting by using the location base, like your city name. You had talked about using the radius, and I kind of followed up with them on they need to be careful at that 50-mile range based on if they're going to be competitive and have to charge drive time or not in the business application. But you mentioned one other, which was DMA. And I know that's more complicated from a targeting standpoint, but give them 30 to 60 seconds about DMA targeting, because I know that's something that gets a little bit more intermediate to advanced than just using keywords and radius.
So all that is I believe, and you might correct me on this, all it is it's based on what advertisers target in a given area. That's my understanding of it. But you don't have to worry about the DMA targeting. All it does is it gives you a larger area. So for instance, DMA targeting in the Los Angeles area might be most of Los Angeles County. And so it's just a larger way to target. Stick to radius targeting for most of you guys stick to radius targeting. Now, what I was speaking about regarding the keyword-based targeting, this is very important because you do not want to set your location settings to target the whole United States or the whole world. How you show people your ads that are flying into your city is by putting your location in the keyword. So for instance, your keyword might be Los Angeles limo service, but you'd also have another keyword that's just limo service that's targeting a particular location. And then you also have Los Angeles limo service, and that keyword is for people all over the globe that are searching for LA limo service. And so you want to have both types of keywords, keywords with locations in them and keywords without locations in them.
Cool. That's good stuff, Mark. Tim, what do we got up next?
Bill, when it comes to prom traffic, how much should I be spending and where should I be spending it?
That's a great question. As we start, many of you may not be thinking about prom yet, but before we talk about the traffic component, I want all of you to do one exercise. I want you to log into your software, look at your prom bookings from last year and even the year before, and look at the date that the reservation was made. Because if you're running Facebook ads, if you're running, you know, Google ads, if you're working with Mark, if you're doing it on your own, working with a Facebook ad agency, whatever that is, you really need to hone in on when they're booking and not necessarily the service date. So I believe you should be doing prom marketing right now. And I think that you should be leading in with a small dollar amount. So I'm going to assume, let's say that you have $1,000 a month in an advertising budget. Right now, I would probably be putting, and this is just for prom ads, I'd probably be putting about 300 of that into Facebook advertising, and I would be using some videos. If you don't have video, one, I would go to fiverr.com and send them some images to turn into a slideshow, or you can create a slideshow of photos that you have from last year's proms of your vehicles, kids getting in and out of proms, yada, 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 into a slideshow right in Facebook. $300 of that budget. Then I would be spending $700 of the remaining budget on Google Ads now because people have intent. But I would really be looking at the different stages of the keywords that you'd be utilizing inside of that buyer's funnel. I'm going to deeper into the show here in a few minutes. I'm going to talk about another paid traffic channel that we have tested and has worked really well in the past. And it's probably something most of you have not thought of, but that's also something that you can start using now. So stay tuned for that. I'm going to let Mark jump in and give you his 2 cents on prom marketing, on when you should start and how much you should be spending. But before I do that, I want to clarify one last thing. Take deposits and start booking now. When you're looking at your reservations and looking at when they actually booked, also look at the capacity on those prom dates. So if you only have 3 weekends and you're sold out at 100%, then I'd probably cut that budget back a little bit because there's no need to if you know you're going to sell out in your market. What do you think, Mark?
Well, yeah, no, that's exactly it. I mean, I have some clients, if you said you really want to put prom in its own campaign, and that way you can limit the budget that you spend on the actual prom traffic, because if you get completely book solid on prom, you know, you can lower that or even pause that campaign. Because a lot of my clients that just put the prom ad group in their campaign, they just get so many requests and it just eats up their budget. So devoting a certain budget to prom traffic is a great idea. And those clicks cost a lot less than your normal clicks. So keywords like prom limo, that's a great keyword, is what you want to be using. And just remember, give that its own budget so that you're not spending all of your money on just that prom traffic. Because from what I've heard a lot of my clients say is there's even typically a higher percentage of tire kickers. A lot of time you get kids on the phone. And so you don't want to be spending your whole budget on prom.
Guys, before we jump over to the next question with Tim, if you guys have questions and you're watching this, just jump on over to the Limo Growth Facebook group. Type in a comment. Tim will give Mark and I the question. We'll take some questions here at the end of the show, which we got probably about 7 to 8 minutes until we'll be wrapping up. Tim, what's our next question, buddy?
Mark, this one's for you. Can you explain what location-based negative keywords are?
Yeah, definitely. So I went over this at the conference. Location-based negative keywords. Let's pretend you're in Los Angeles, okay? And there's someone in Los Angeles searching. They're flying to New York for business. And so they're searching from LA for car service to New York or car service to Manhattan from JFK. You're going to want to have the top 250, 300 cities as negative keywords in your negative keyword list. And the keywords you don't include, the negative keywords you don't include in that list are any local cities to you. So for instance, if you're in LA, you don't want LA or Los Angeles on your negative keyword list. You probably also don't want San Diego or Las Vegas or Santa Barbara, because those are all locations you travel to. But any city you do not travel to, you want that added as a negative keyword. The same can be said for airports and airport codes. I see this all the time when I'm auditing campaigns. Other airport codes are coming up that are across the country that my clients don't service. And so you don't want to be wasting your money on ad spend trying to get business in another city. You want to book it, you want to book your vehicles first. So,
good stuff, Mark. What do we got next, Timmy?
Bill, have you ever used Snapchat ads?
Never.
Never.
Actually, we have quite a bit. You know, you may have been to some of the shows and seen some Snapchat ads that I've done in the past at like LCT East. Did one in Vegas. Chris, did we do one last year in Las Vegas at the LCT show? We did a Snapchat ad. So really what it is it's a filter that you can utilize. And the first time I think we ever deployed this was actually for a client to target proms. I said we'd be talking about this a little bit later because it's really cheap. So here's the strategy. Pick your two or three biggest high schools within about a 7 to 10 minute trade radius that you would service that are going to have a lot of students there by biggest high schools. Then you'd go in and you target that high school with a custom filter for prom, and it's literally going to cost you probably anywhere from $4 to maybe $10 or $20 a day. And if you know when they have like homecoming basketball or something down in Florida, a friend of mine's daughter became homecoming queen, you know, last Friday, you can target specific dates. But you literally just run it from like 7 o'clock to 3 o'clock. You don't have to have it all day. And you give them a fun filter that you can get designed at Fiverr or, you know, Odesk or by any graphic designer to be able to drop in with your branding to where they will actually want to take it. So one of the things right now getting early into the sales cycle by utilizing this is creating a filter to help them ask, you know, their date. It's a huge production for these kids to ask their dates nowadays. So if you make something fun, and remember, you may have no interest in Snapchat, but I don't really give a shit what you care about. What I give a shit is that these are kids, these are millennials, these are 16, 17, 18 year olds, and they are all over Snapchat. So design some cool, funky filters. Don't drop your phone number in it, just do branding. And spend a couple of $100 on these mega high schools. And we have seen that it works. We've had probably 5 or 10 LimoU members. I've talked about this briefly. Never really took it out public like this, but it's something that I believe would be worth testing. Now, we wanted to do this for Lab Live last week. Doesn't work so well when you're targeting an arena that, you know, can seat 18,000 people and it's right next to the honky-tonks in the busiest part of Nashville. Chris, what were we going to have to spend, like $175 a day? Based on that, I didn't see a big enough return on investment to do that. But if I went to our host hotel, the Omni Hotel, and there was a conference that was there for potential buyers that I would want to target, whether it's healthcare whatever that is, maybe, you know, and right now there's a GBTA leadership summit here in Nashville. You could drop your own Snapchat filter very cost efficiently, $20 less a day for a 2 to 3 day conference. You're spending $60, probably have to spend $15 on Fiverr to get it designed. So a $75 investment to get some great branding with everybody that's at GBTA. Now, there may only be a few people. You know, you might have 1,000 people here for this GBTA Leadership Summit. You might have 10 that use your Snapchat filter. But here's the cool thing. People will use your Snapchat filter, then they're going to download the image, and then they're going to post it into their Insta stories, and they're going to post it into their Facebook stories so their community sees it. For a $60 to $75 kind of out-of-the-box, you know, type of engagement, it's well worth the investment.
Mark, what are excluded locations, and can you explain how they work?
Yeah, so that's a setting. You go into your location settings, and you can select a location, and you can choose to target or exclude it. And so I've used it for clients before. For instance, let's say you're in LA, but you just want the corporate traveler that's flying into LA. So you don't really want to target people in LA itself. So what you'd use is you'd use a combination of location-based keywords, and you can exclude the actual location you're in. One other thing this might do, I don't have enough data on it to really say for sure, if you think you're getting a ton of competitors clicking on your ads, you know, that could solve that issue. But really, excluded locations are anytime that you set a radius or you can choose a city. It's pretty much the exact opposite as locations. It's the same thing. Keywords to negative keywords are locations to excluded locations. And you can even choose a very large area. I have some clients, like for instance, clients in Houston that are targeting a very large area, but in that area, we know there are certain areas where the demographics might not be favorable, lower income type areas where they might, you know, you want to put your ads in front of the most qualified prospect. And so that's another way you can add zip codes as excluded zip codes. And I do this all the time for my clients that are getting low quality leads. I'll add a ton of excluded zip codes that are in the lower, you know, the lower income level areas. And that can cut out a lot of tire kickers many times. Not to say that there aren't rich tire kickers too. There's plenty of them. So that's how you can use excluded locations to cut down on that that traffic that might not convert as well.
All right, Bill, this is a very popular question. Where can I get audits of my existing campaigns?
Audits of my existing campaigns. So I think there's really three things that you want to audit. You know, number one, and Mark was gracious enough to be here at Lab Live last week. Mark, how many audits did you do? I know you probably did maybe 20 or 30 over the 2.5 days.
Yeah, probably, over 20.
Over 20. So Mark did 20 to 30 Google Ads audits while they were here. And Mark, I assume you're still doing audits. Is that correct? If somebody wants to get an audit, they can reach out to you?
Yeah, definitely. Still doing them.
So drop in your email address. What is it? mark@clicksprofit.com?
Yeah. Marketclicksprofit.com.
We'll have Tim will drop in Mark's email address. So if you want an audit of your Google Ads, just go ahead and reach out to Mark. It's mark@clicksprofit.com. And he can do an audit of your Google Ads. I also recommend that if you're investing in the search engine optimization, that you get an audit of your SEO as well. The third thing would be Facebook ads, to get an audit of your Facebook ads. These are things that, you know, can get really expensive, especially for like an SEO audit based on how in-depth you want it to go. But there's also quite a few free tools out there that you can use, and you can run your own audits as well. You just need to have the tools, and then you need to really be able to understand what's going in or really what's coming out of those audits for you to be able to make those changes. A really good SEO audit, you're going to pay $2,000 to $3,000 a piece. Most of you are probably not willing to spend that kind of money. You know, I know Mark has been doing a lot of free audits, as I've been doing with Facebook ads. So if you have questions on your Facebook ads, just shoot me a PM or shoot me an email at bill@lemogrowth.com, and I'll do the Facebook ads, and I'll let Mark handle the Google ads as well. If you're interested in some of the free tools for search engine optimization audits, you know, hit me up and I'll share those with you guys as well. I do believe that if you are paying somebody to do your marketing for you, you should be auditing them with a third party at least once a year. So, you know, if you're a new client of Mark's, I would say within the first 6 months, I'd go in and have somebody else do an audit to make sure that he's delivering for you. If you're doing Facebook ads, I would do the exact same thing. Now, if you're paying somebody, that's one thing. If you're doing it on your own, I promise you there's nobody in this industry that's an expert in PPC or in Facebook ads like Mark is, or like on the Google ad side like I am on the Facebook ad side. So that's really where you need to understand the learning curve, and you're going to get some feedback that really starts with it, going through and looking at these audits. So that's what I've got in regards to the audits. Hit up Mark, hit up myself. What else we got, Tim?
Good deal. Mark, you've got the last one. What setting do I use for location targeting?
Okay. Yeah, this is a pretty short answer. So when you go into your advanced settings, I believe in your locations, there's a couple different options. One is people searching in or interested in a location. That's usually always the one I'm going to be using, because if you have that setting activated, then anyone around the world can see your ads so long as they are those location-based keywords. Now, if your keyword is just limo service and you have that setting, only people in the location you've set will see your ads. So that's very important to understand. Now, the other setting is only showing ads to people in a given location. So even if you have the keyword Atlanta limo service, and someone in Los Angeles is searching for your company, if you have that setting, then they will not see your ad. So you want to use the setting people in or interested in your location.
That's all great stuff. I love that, Mark. I mean, I think this is a lot of great stuff that we covered here in episode number 7. One thing I want to leave you guys as we wrap up today, don't be afraid to go and try something new like Snapchat, because that is tied directly to your buyer personas. If you watch the video or listen to what I did on what I called the morning drive, first one I've done of those this morning at about 7 o'clock Central Time, you can go scroll back up here in the group. You really need to understand your buyers, and you need to tie that to your actual business model. Then you need to go in and test. Those are the three things that I highly recommend that you don't have to know how to do Google Ads. You don't have to know how to do Facebook, but you need to understand who your buyer is, where you're going to reach them, how you're going to reach them, and how you're going to get them to have some level of interest, you know, in your business. Then you need to understand your service offerings. So specifically as we come into proms, most people aren't going to be willing to do a 6-hour minimum, 8-hour minimum, whatever you're charging in your market. If you got to drive from where Mark lives, Huntington Beach, all the way to, you know, Temecula or to Colton or Riverside, or even probably Pomona, you know, for that matter, on the other side of the city. So make sure, and it's not just PPC, it's not just Google Ads, it's Facebook, it's Bing, it's Snapchat, it's anything you're doing with targeting. Don't waste your money targeting someplace that you're not going to be competitive on your rates. Lastly, be creative. Try new things, whether it's Snapchat, whether it's Instagram advertising, leveraging your stories. You know, you can do advertising inside of stories now. You see them in Instagram, you see them in Facebook. You know, it's not too far away to where they're going to start advertising inside of groups as well. So I hope this helps everybody. Mark, you got a couple of people in here that are looking for some audits. Mark will follow up with you when we get done with the broadcast. Timmy, any questions before we sign off?
No, sir. Not for me.
No
questions. Everyone stay warm.
Awesome. Thank you guys for joining us. Hope you're staying warm in your market. Look forward to seeing you next week. I'll probably be in Boston next week, I think. But don't worry about that, Mark. I'll be freezing in a parka while you're enjoying the warm weather in Huntington Beach, California. We'll see you guys next week on episode number 8 of the Paid Traffic Show.